Or puffed up never attains perfection in this life, nor does he attain happiness or liberation from the material condition. Yashastra vidhim utsrijya vartate kamakarata nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukham namparangatim. He who discards spiritual injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Bhagavad Gita 16:23. Thus, one who is deliberately transgressing the rules and regulations of the Shastras is simply involving himself more and more in material existence, in the three modes of material nature. Human society should therefore follow the Vedic principles of life, which are summarized in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, life in material existence will continue. Foolish persons do not know that the soul is passing through 8.4 million species of life. By the gradual process of evolution, when one comes to the human form of life, he is supposed to follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the living entity since time immemorial is suffering the threefold miseries of material nature due to his demoniac attitude, which is the spirit of revolt against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 15.7. Amayamamsha jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashasthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. The living entities in this world are my eternal fragment of parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses which include the mind. End quote. Every living entity is part and parcel of God. There is no reason for the living entities being put into the miserable threefold condition of material existence, but that he voluntarily accepts material existence on the false pretext of becoming an enjoyer. To save him from this horrible condition, the Lord has given all the Vedic literatures in his incarnation of Vyasadeva. It is therefore said, Krishna Puri Sajiv, Anadi Bhavi Bhuk, Ata Eva Maya Tare, Deya Sansara Dukkha. By forgetting Krishna, the living entity has become materialistic since time immemorial. Thus, the illusory energy of Krishna is giving him different types of miseries in material existence. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 20.117. Maya Dukta Jivera Nahi Svata Krishna Gyan Jivera Kripaya Kala Krishna Veda Purana. When the living entity is enchanted by the external energy, he cannot revive his original Krishna consciousness independently. Due to such circumstances, Krishna has kindly given him the Vedic literatures, such as the four Vedas and 18 Puranas. CC Madhya Lila 20.122. Every human being should therefore take advantage of the Vedic instructions. Otherwise, one will be bound by his whimsical activities and will be without any guide. The word Manarudha is also very significant in this verse. Under the pretext of becoming great philosophers and scientists, men throughout the whole world are working on the mental platform. Such men are generally non-devotees due to not caring for the instructions given by the Lord to the first living creature, Lord Brahma. The Bhagavatam 5.8.12 therefore says, Haral Abhaktasya Kuto Mahatukula Mano Rathe Nasati Dhavato Vari. A person who is a non-devotee has no good qualifications because he acts on the mental platform. One who acts on the mental platform has to change his standard of knowledge periodically. We consequently see that one philosopher may disagree with another philosopher, and one scientist may put forward a theory contradicting the theory of another scientist. All of this is due to their working on the mental platform without a standard of knowledge. In the Vedic instructions, however, the standard of knowledge is accepted. even though it may sometimes appear that the statements are contradictory. Because the Vedas are the standard of knowledge, even though they appear contradictory, they should be accepted. Even if one does not accept them, then he will be bound by the material conditions. The material conditions are described in this verse as guna pravaha, the flowing of the three modes of material nature. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore says in a song, Miche maya vashe, yacha meshe, kacha abudugu bhai. Why are you suffering? Why are you sometimes being drowned in the waves of material nature and sometimes coming to the surface? Jiva Krishna Dasa, Jiva Krishna Dasa, e Vishwasa, Parvetara Dukhanai. Please, therefore, accept yourself as a servant of Krishna. Then you will be freed from all miseries. End quote. As soon as one surrenders to Krishna and accepts the standard of prophet knowledge, which is Bhagavad Gita as it is, he then comes out of the material modes of nature and does not fall down and lose his knowledge. Nashta Pragya. The word Pragya means perfect knowledge, and Nashta Pragya means one who has no perfect knowledge. One who does not have perfect knowledge only has mental speculation. By such mental speculation, one falls down and down into a hellish condition of life. By transgressing the laws laid down in the Shastras, one cannot become pure in heart. When one's heart is not purified, one acts according to the three material modes of nature. These activities are very nicely explained in verses 1 through 6 of the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita 2:45 further explains, Trayagunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrayagunya Mavajana Vidvando Nitya Sattvasto Niryogakshema Atmavan. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in itself. End quote. The entire material world and all the material knowledge is within the three modes of material nature. One has to transcend these modes, and to attain that platform of transcendence, one must follow the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become perfect in life. Otherwise, one will be knocked down by the waves of the material nature's three modes. This is further explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:30 in the words of Prahlad Maharaj. Matirna Krishna Parata Svatova Mitho Abhimadhyeta Griha Vatana Adanta Gopi Vishatam Namisram Puna Punas Charita Charma Dana. Materialistic persons who are too much engaged in material enjoyment and who do not know anything beyond their material experiences are carried by the winds of material nature. They live a life characterized by chewing the chew, and they are controlled by their uncontrolled senses. Thus, they go down to the darkest regions of hellish life. Prabhupada has given a very deep and long purport on this verse. So it is very significant. Prabhupada has invested a lot of energy and time. Om Gyana Tinandasya Venanjana Shlakaya Chakshuni Nandangena Tasvai Shri Yave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama read the translation one more time. Otherwise, a person who acts mystically falls down due to false prestige. Thus, he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of superior intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. Thus, he goes up and down from a micro-vistu to a high position. I don't know. So this is the consequence of acting whimsically. So the, and as it is said, anyatha. Anyatha means otherwise. So otherwise of what? What was yesterday's was?
Normal course.
Does anyone remember yesterday's verse?
Devotional path.
The Vedas describe acting according to the higher nature to satisfy the Lord, otherwise it would be crucial activity.
Yes. In essence, yes. Where Narada Muni tells King Prachina Parishad, if one acts according to the Vedas, then one will not be bound to fruitive activities. So today it is said anyatha. Otherwise, if one does not act in that way, or one acts whimsically due to false prestige, then one will be bound by the laws of nature. So this false prestige, right? So in the Shastras a lot is mentioned about false prestige. So it is the false prestige of the jiva which has led to the fall down from the spiritual world to the material world. It's the false prestige. So it's the pride of the living entity that thinks I can enjoy independently of Krishna. And due to this independent thinking and this propensity to enjoy independently, which comes from a sense of false prestige, that has led to our fall down into material existence. So there's a saying, pride comes before fall, right? The pride comes before a fall down. And we see even Lord Brahma, in the Bhagavad Gita, he became a little proud and he was doubting Krishna's position. Indra, right? And he was doubting and he got puffed up, and Indra got puffed up and he sent some Vartaka clouds to inundate the Bhagavad. So pride comes before a fall. And due to this pride, it leads to acting whimsically. So people think, I know what happiness is, you don't need to tell me, or no book needs to tell me what happiness is, or how I can become happy. So there is that pride. And that pride is very prevalent in conditioned souls. It's very, very prevalent. We might analyze ourselves before we became a devotee. We were thinking, we know the meaning of life. It is to satisfy our senses. And in whatever way you can find happiness, that's fine. Whatever makes you happy, that's okay. And that is the dharma. The dharma is whatever makes you happy. And who is anyone to tell me how to become happy? So this is the mindset of the conditioned soul due to false prestige, that I know how to be happy and I will act in any way to achieve happiness. There are no laws of nature. Whatever way we act, as long as you are a good person, you try not to harm others. That's what people say, right? That's what we also thought. Just try to be a good person, don't try to harm others, and find happiness in whatever way you think it is possible. Whatever way, whatever makes you happy, find that happiness, and in the process, don't try to harm people. So that is the mindset of people, and that is due to the Shastras, as it is explained here, that is due to this pride of the living entity. And because one is proud, then one acts whimsically. So, whimsically means to act without any rules and regulations. So, and to even act without any rules and regulations, and to violate the rules and regulations knowingly. That's what it means to act knowingly. To again act against the rules knowingly. So we are given this human form of life to act responsibly. So as it is explained in the purport here. So due to our false prestige, we fall down into the material world. And in the material world, we attain the human form of life after a very, very long time. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, the human form of life is attained after transmigrating through 8.4 million species of life. So we have heard this millions of times, but we need to understand the significance of attaining the human form of life, because the human form of life is very, very rare. It's durlabha, right? It's very rare. It might seem to us it's not rare, because there's 7 billion people on this planet. And if you go to India, there's like people everywhere, so you might feel, you know, what's rare about human form of life is there's so many of us around. But the Shastras explain that to attain a human form of life, one has to transmigrate through the 8 million forms, and then one comes to the human form. And it is very rarely attained, because then one has to go through each of those forms of life. So, in the other forms of life, rules and regulations don't apply. Right? Karma doesn't apply to them. So, an animal is not bound by the laws of state. Right? If an animal walks on the wrong side of the road, the police does not issue them a fine. Or it's there. But if we are driving on the wrong side of the road, we are pulled over and issued an infringement. Or if the penalty is very severe, we might be arrested. Or the car might be impounded due to the home laws. So, in other words, rules and regulations apply to human beings. And human beings, people think they are free. People have this conception that they are free. But no, we are not free. We are bound by so many laws. We are bound by the laws of the local government, right? We are bound by state laws. We are bound by federal laws. We are bound by tax laws. And then we are bound by the laws of karma. So we are not free to act in any way we like. So people think, yes, you have to abide. The common person thinks you have to abide by the laws of the state. But when it comes to within that, we have some freedom, and we can choose what we eat, you know, who we sleep with, or within that, they think there's a lot of freedom. But the human form of life is meant to be regulated. And just like somebody gets to get a driver's license means there are certain conditions, right? And there are demerit points if you don't follow those conditions. There are penalties for not following. So it means that you cannot do what you want to do. You cannot drive on the road at 200 k's an hour or do all kinds of, you know, crazy things, or mooning or whatever. So in other words, there is restriction. So similarly, for us in the human form of life, there are restrictions, there are laws by which we need to abide by. And if we don't abide by, then we have to suffer. So there is karma. In human society, there is punishment. We go to court, or we get an infringement, or we are put in jail. But then there's the laws of karma. But the laws made by humans are not perfect, because we as conditioned beings have four kinds of defects, as you know. Therefore, the laws we make are not perfect. But the laws given by Krishna, by Shastras, they are perfect because Krishna is free from the four defects. Therefore, the laws of karma are perfect. It's not that the legislation is passed or amended because they were not correct. The laws are perfect. They don't change. The laws of Shastra, Manu Samhita doesn't change. Right? Manu Samhita is the laws of mankind. You don't hear version 2.0 has come out now. And now, 10 years later, version 5.0 is there. So the laws, it's not, they are not sitting up there in the parliament saying, actually that wasn't correct. We need to amend it, and then there's a vote. No, because laws given by God are perfect. Therefore, if we don't follow the laws of God, then we are acting whimsically. And then there is punishment by the laws of nature. And that punishment is entanglement in the three modes of nature, as it is described here. Due to acting whimsically, one falls down into the three modes of nature. It's explained in the purport. So Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse from Bhagavad Gita. Ya shastra vidhim utsrijya vartate kama karata nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na param kathim. So one who acts whimsically or against the scriptures does not attain any perfection in life, neither any happiness, na sukham, na param kathim. So neither any happiness, nor he attains the highest destination. So we can see that because people are acting against the laws of nature, nobody is happy. It is said here, na sukham, no happiness. And we can see in the modern day, because people are not following any scriptural regulations, there is widespread dissatisfaction in society. And so much so that depression is now like the number two cause of illness. So even it's becoming more and more prominent. Mental illnesses and dissatisfaction is becoming so prominent, and it's becoming very recognized. Right? And they're recognizing it in the corporate world and in all spheres of human society. They're recognizing that if you're having mental problems, please call out. So we can see that dissatisfaction is very widespread due to acting whimsically. And of course, there's no chance of reaching the Supreme Goal. And because we act whimsically, we are also destroying the planet we live in. And as it's explained over here, in the Shastra, in the purport. That by acting in a whimsical manner, not only are we causing great unhappiness for ourselves, we are even causing great unhappiness for others. And in the process, destroying the world. So now, like, there's fires burning in New South Wales. Again, they started. Like 300,000 hectares destroyed in 2 or 3 days. And they are attributing this to climate change. And climate change is caused again by acting whimsically. And all of this acting whimsically is due to our revolting against Krishna due to our rebellious nature. So Prabhupada quotes 15th sentence, Mamaya Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutra Sanatana Vanamashasani, Indriyani, Prakriti, Samika. So Krishna says, the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal, fragmental parts and parcels. Mamaya Vamsho, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhutas, Sanatana. Right? So, Mamaya Vamsho, Jiva Loke. We are Krishna's eternal parts and parcels. And the duty of the part is to serve the whole. Prabhupada gives this example so many times. The duty of the hand is to serve the stomach and the body. In that way it will be nourished and not be depleted. So in the same way, because of our rebellious nature, because we have revolted, it's like a, like in during India's independence, the reason India got independence because people revolted against the rule of the British Raj, right? Mahatma Gandhi inspired them to revolt. So revolt means people are against, severely against something. So, because we have revolted, we are stuck here in the material world. So we need to understand we are a rebel, right? As I said, rebel sports. So we the jivas are a rebel because we have rebelled against Krishna's program. So we are labeled as a rebel, like rebel's voice. And because of that, we are going through material existence and chewing the chew. So Srila Prabhupada, towards the end of his purport, he quotes Prahlad Maharaj. Mate na krishne parata svatova mitho abhit peta drihavatana adanta govir vishatanta mishra puna punas chargata charvanana. So puna puna means again and again. So and chargata means things which have already been chewed. And charvanana means who are chewing. So again and again, chewing things that have already been chewed. So that is what material existence is about. It is about chewing the chewed. So it's like somebody takes a food item, they chew it, and then they throw it out. Then another person picks it up, put it in their mouth, and chew it. So the person who chewed it the first time, maybe got some rust out of it. And subsequently the juice or taste keeps reducing, right? So there's, and that's a very good analogy given in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Prahlad Maharaj. And he's comparing material life, he's saying material life is chewing the shoe. So what is material life? It is what is chewing the shoe? So people are going through material existence, right? And so the chewing the shoe is taking birth, going through school, getting educated, and then growing up and getting married, having a career, having kids, then having grandkids, and then dying. So everyone has done this in all species of life. Recently I was with Zolines Devanand Swami and we were at a retreat. Mataji was there also. And that was at the Macedon Ranges. And there he was explaining chewing the chew. So he was saying kangaroos, there were kangaroos, lots of kangaroos. So and as we were driving in to the retreat center, we saw some kangaroos hopping. And then in the lecture, Maharaj was saying, kangaroos are doing the same thing. They have their children, sorry, they have in their pouch. They are raising their kids, they are providing for their food or economic development. And then they are also absorbed in family life. And in this way they are passing their life. And you are doing the same thing. So what's the difference? They're jumping on two legs, hopping on two legs, and we are driving around on four wheels. What's the difference? So, sorry, and so what's the difference? So, and as we grow, and people tell us, like, especially if you come into spiritual life, sometimes people get threatened, and they tell us, you should also do all these things. Don't give up. Have a career. Get absorbed in that, and do what we have done. That's what people tell us. That's what friends, family, and society tell us. Do what we are doing, and this way you will be happy. So that is chewing the chew. And Prahlad Maharaj is condemning that. Right? So due to this, because they have revolted, people are doing the same thing again and again. And so people are trying to find happiness in so many ways. If this doesn't make happy us happy, let me try something else. But because it is the same thing, it is trying to derive happiness from matter, we are chewing the chew and can never be happy. So, in order to come out of this illusion, we have to take help of the Shastras. We cannot independently come out of this illusion. As Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, that for the living entity to come out of the entanglement of Maya, Krishna has given the Shastras through Vyasadeva. Prabhupada explains in the purport. So we cannot independently overcome Maya. Why? Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Daiviesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateva Mamivaye Tabaliyante Maya Metam Tarantite. This divine energy of mine is very powerful, and you can only overcome it by surrendering unto me. This divine energy comprising of the three modes of nature is very powerful and difficult to overcome. Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita. So, because material energy is Krishna's energy, it is very, very powerful and it is divine. And because we are also Krishna's energy, but because we are the Tashta Shakti, or we are the marginal potency, we are very minute. Because we are very minute, we have been overcome by this material energy. And on our own strength, we cannot overcome it. So, we are not that powerful. We cannot even overcome the bushfire of our own strength. Right? As Bhakta Prabhu was telling me, I was speaking to him just before, sitting on the Vyamsan, and he was supposed to be in Cessnock today. And he called them and asked them, should I come over? They said, forget about it, because the fire is out of control, it's a few kilometers away. We don't know what's going to happen, and the way the authorities have said, we just have to see how it plays out. And yesterday I was listening on the radio. They were saying the new reality is because the fires have gone to the bush level, threat has gone to another level. So the new reality is the fire chief told the people, do not expect. If you are in Triple Goal, do not expect we will be able to provide you assistance. So now they are saying the new strategy is we need to educate people to those whose houses haven't been burned yet. We need to educate people. You need to have a fire plan and we cannot save you. You need to make the right decisions and be responsible for your own life and property. We cannot take responsibility for everyone because we don't have sufficient resources. So, we cannot even overcome material fires or the challenges thrown by nature, let alone overcoming Maya. So maybe because the conditioned soul is very tiny, they cannot overcome Maya on their own. So the Krishna has given us the Shastras through Vyasadeva. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. The Vedic literature is given by Vyasadeva. So one time, Vyasadeva, the sages at Naimishramya, they asked Sutta Goswami, so there were 88,000 sages in Naimishramya doing this 1,000-year sacrifice for the benefit of the citizens of Kaliyuga. So in their discussions, they asked Sutta Goswami, they wanted to know what were the circumstances that led to the compilation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the sages wanted to know that, where it was compiled and what happened, how it was compiled. So then Sutta Goswami, he narrates about how Srimad Bhagavatam came about, and he narrates Vyasadeva's despondency. So one time Vyasadeva came at the end of Dwapara Yuga. He was the son of Parashar Muni and Satyavati. So when Vyasadeva, he quickly grew up and he went straight to the Himalayas. So in the Himalayas, one day at dawn time, at the arrival of dawn, he was in the river Saraswati. And he was chanting his Gayatri. So he dipped, you know, as customary, three times in the sacred Saraswati. He was chanting his Gayatri, and after he finished his Gayatri, he was praying to the Supreme Lord and asking for some service. And he was praying. He was asking, "What's the best way I can serve you?" Because one should not live to please one's senses. So he was saying, praying to the Lord, "What's the best way I can serve you?" And he kept praying like that for a while. And as he was praying, he went into a deep meditation. And then, by the Lord's influence, he was able to see Kali Yuga. So he had the prophecy of Kali Yuga. And because he was in that mindset and prayer, the Lord revealed to him what Kali Yuga would be like. And then he saw that people in the age of Kali Yuga would age very quickly. I already have gray hairs. I'm not even 50. So we can see they are aging very quickly. And he saw people would die young through disease or violence. Right? But people are dying from cancer at a young age. People are in their 50s, 40s. That's not very old. People are dying. And through so many other illnesses. So Vyasadeva was able to see people will die at a young age through disease and violence. You can see there's a lot of crime in society. People are dying from violence. And he saw the earth is being destroyed by greed, lust and anger. Climate change is being... the earth is being destroyed. And this, in the last 50-70 years, the planet's temperature has gone up by, I think, half a degree or a degree, something like that. And this is what has happened. And now people are becoming a bit aware of it. So they're saying by 2050 to 2080, the Earth's planet's temperature will have increased by 1.5 degrees. And they're saying, we don't know what will happen. So Vyasadeva saw this. The earth will be destroyed by greed, lust and anger. And he also saw mass slaughter of animals and humans. So Vyasadeva saw this. There's billions of animals being slaughtered for the sake of the tongue. And then as a consequence of that, there's mass slaughter of humans through wars. We saw What did Hitler do that?
Holocaust.
The Holocaust, right? That's an example of vast order of humans. So then at that time, Vyasadeva, he opened his eyes and his heart was pounding like that. And perspiration, he was sweating. And there was, and he, because he was, he felt so bad for the citizens of Kali Yuga. So he thought, okay, I will, let me, he, then he meditated for a long time, and he thought, okay, what should I do to help the citizens of Kali Yuga? This is what's going to happen. So he thought, okay, let me compile the Vedas, because currently, in its current state, the Vedas are in spoken form. Right? They were, people were just speaking them and people were able to memorize. So he thought in Kali Yuga, people's memories will be very short. They won't be able to remember what they did the previous day. So he thought, let me compile the Vedas for them. And then Vyasadeva, he broke down the Vedas in four. And then he added the fifth Veda, the Puranas. So the Puranas are historical narrations. And they describe the teachings of the four Vedas through historical narrations. So then he compiled these four Vedas and the fifth Veda, the Purana. And he thought this is the simplified form of the Vedas. So this was a simplified Vedas. And then he sat down again in meditation. So he felt dissatisfied. He thought, I'm feeling dissatisfied. So this is not enough. And then Vyasadeva, he thought, okay, let me, he said, because people won't be able to understand this. How can people understand these Vedas? So he thought, okay, let me now teach the Vedas to my disciples. So he had adapted the trainer model, and he got his disciples, five prominent disciples, and he instructed them in those Vedas, and he said, as I've instructed you, now you instruct people and teach them the Vedas. Teach them to understand and apply also in their lives. So then again he sat down in meditation and he felt sense of dissatisfaction again. So he thought, okay, now again I'm feeling dissatisfied, something is lacking. He thought, okay, you know, even though I've given my disciples the Vedas, a person needs to be very intelligent to understand these Vedas. It requires a lot of high level of intelligence, which people in Kali Yuga will lack. So now I will compile the Mahabharata. Then for days on an end, he sat down and he wrote the Mahabharata, in which he weaved morality and some Vedic knowledge. And as you know, the purpose of the Mahabharata is the Bhagavad Gita, right? That's the essence of the Mahabharata. As Bhakta Prabhu was explaining last week, the essence of the Mahabharata is Bhagavad Gita. So he sat down, again he felt a sense of dissatisfaction. So he thought, if I'm feeling dissatisfied, surely other people will also be dissatisfied, because I'm the one who wrote the Vedas, who compiled all this, and I'm feeling dissatisfied. So how can others feel satisfied? And then he was meditating and he was thinking, what have I done wrong? Have I overemphasized on material enjoyment and not emphasized enough on the glories of the Lord? And he was thinking in this way. And that time he heard Radhika Raman, Radhika Raman from the sky. And he looked up and he saw his Guru, Narada Muni, descending and playing the veena. And he said, Jai Guru Maharaj. And he received his guru as per the Vedic etiquette of reception. And then he inquired, he gave a report of what just happened. And he told that I was feeling, I was meditating, I saw Kali Yuga, and this is what I've done. But I'm still feeling dissatisfied. Please tell me the cause of my despondency. And then Narada Muni, so Narada Muni, he first of all congratulated Vyasadeva on all his accomplishments. He said, you've done great, you know, you've you've done this amazing work, very scholarly work. And he said, by studying your scholarly compositions, people will learn the best means to attain worldly happiness and liberation. So why are you unhappy? He came to ask his disciple like that. Then Vyasadeva said, yes, what you're saying is correct. I've worked hard, but I'm still feeling dissatisfied. Please tell me, what's the root cause of my dissatisfaction? And then, Narada Muni, he told Vyasadeva, he said, although you have explained the four great aims of life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, these pertain to the body and mind and cannot satisfy the soul. He said, you have not described Krishna's pure and transcendental glories, which alone can make people happy. Any literature bereft of such descriptions is useless. So he confirmed Vyasadeva's doubt and he said, because you're not glorifying Krishna sufficiently, that's why you're unhappy. So then Vyasadeva, he bowed his head in acquiescence and he understood immediately Narada has identified his problem. And then Narada Muni told Vyasadeva, he said, write a literature that only glorifies the name, fame, forms, pastimes, qualities, and associates of the unlimited Supreme Lord. Superior to all of the Vedas, this will have the potency to transform the impious lives of this world's misguided civilization. And then to stress this point, Narada Muni said, my dear disciple, glorification of the Lord is so powerful that even if imperfectly composed, it will still be appreciated by great scholars who are thoroughly honest. So because Vyasadeva, normally in the Vedas, if there are grammatical errors, the scholars will reject that work. So Vyasadeva was happy to hear that. Even if it's imperfectly composed, it will appreciate it by all the scholars. Because at that time, Vyasadeva was also targeting the scholars. So then Vyasadeva, he presented a doubt to the spiritual masters. He said, would materialists have the patience or inclination to read a book exclusively about Krishna's pastimes? He said, I wrote the Mahabharata and other shastras so people could hear Krishna's glories, but I first presented the great happiness so I can draw them. Is this not required for worldly inclined men? So Vyasadeva asked this question. I'm bringing them gradually. What about that? Then Narada firmly shook his head and said, you have committed a serious mistake. This is surely condemned. People who are already inclined to sense gratification. People are already inclined to sense gratification. By instructing them how to enjoy piously, they will think you are endorsing material enjoyment and will soon neglect material prohibitions. Thus, even by trying to help them, you only render them a great harm. You must write a literature that directly glorifies Krishna. Anything other than this will simply agitate the mind as the wind tosses the boat on the lake. So in this way, there was back and forth. Vyasadeva had some doubts, and Narada Muni, he clarified all the doubts and he established that Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amara Purana and it is the Shastra for this day and age. Yes, there are other Shastras, but for Kali Yuga, it is the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and specifically Srimad Bhagavatam. It is Amara Purana. And as it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first few verses, that Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all cheating forms of religion. So, first, the Srimad Bhagavatam does not contain any mention of dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. The Srimad Bhagavatam directly glorifies the name, fame, pastimes and glories, activities of the body. And by reading this, one will get the highest benediction. And as you also know, later in this pastime, Vyasadeva was able to see, Vyasadeva got a darshan of the Supreme Lord, and he was able to see how living entities are suffering in Kali Yuga, and the Vedas are standing. And he was able to see that in Kali Yuga, living entities will take up Vishnu and Bhagavan. He was able to see that vision. And that confirmed to him that Srimad Bhagavatam is the solution. And then Vyasadeva, he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is amazing pastime over here. So as we see with the Vedas, the reason I'm explaining this pastime was to make the point that the Vedic knowledge is very vast, and as Srila Prabhupada, he quotes in the purport, he quotes the Bhagavad Gita verse 245, Tridhanya Vishaya Veda, Nishtraya Padarjana, Nirvanga Nirvanga Prasto, Eri Yoga Kshema Atma. The Vedas mainly deal with the three subjects, with the subject of the three modes of material nature. So the Vedic literature is very vast, and so there is the gradual path, and there is the immediate path. And in the days of yore, people were more inclined to the gradual path. But in Kali Yuga, it's not possible to understand that, as Vyasadeva was explaining. Therefore, the direct path is given. And Srila Prabhupada, he translated, he put a lot of emphasis on the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Prabhupada was in the Radha the temple, he wrote translations to the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he brought those with him to America because he knew this is the solution. So Srila Prabhupada bought the Bhagavatam and then he translated the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as the solution. And though they explained Krishna directly, but by reading these Shastras, they purify the heart of even a citizen of Kali Yuga who is acting whimsically, and they can transform our consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized a lot on his books, and he was so confident of his books, and he said, even as the doomsday scenario, if nothing is left of this movement, but if somebody, one day someone will pick up my books, and they will re-establish everything. So Srila Prabhupada had so much faith in the power of Srimad Bhagavatam and his Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada's. So many other points, I will leave it here to see if you have any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhupada.
You were saying that yesterday, saw the Kali Yuga, the difficulties that were ahead, and you're mentioning some different things about how this is now manifesting. But actually, if you look at statistics, over the last 50 years, there's been marked reduction in violence, marked reduction in war, marked reduction in poverty, the life expectancy of the human is more. What do you think attributes to that?
And where did you get that from?
It's statistically
correct. Can you repeat it?
So Prabhu is saying Vyasadeva's prophecy was by the passing of every day of Kali Yuga, things will get worse. Violence, getting aged, all these things will come quicker, and violence will be a lot of violence. In other words, conditions will degrade progressively. But we see in the last 50 years, statistics say that in the last 50 years that we are aging slower, and violence is reduced, wars is reduced.
Poverty is reduced.
I would challenge that, those statistics. I would dispute it, because war has reduced. Not really. Maybe there's not so many world wars, the world war going on, but there is so many conflicts going on. There's always some conflict going on somewhere. And yes, okay, that's one level of war. But then there's also we have waged war against the animals. We are waging war on the fetuses in the womb. So you can look at it in various ways. But even if you take their statistics, there's always some conflict going on somewhere. And the nature of those conflicts are getting worse and worse. And as far as statistics go, people can quote statistics to make any point. There's all types of statistics out there. So you can take any statistics to support anything.
Don't you think, though, it's interesting that Krishna consciousness has been present in the form of Prabhupada was brought to the West for years?
Yeah.
Now, the statistics actually don't lie, but we can actually see that with the progress of Krishna consciousness, that subtle effect of Krishna consciousness. You know as well as I do that there's an increase in veganism, people are more interested in protecting life, there's more concern, although there's radical differences between two sides. There's a lot more people interested in the welfare of the planet, the healing of people. So what I'm trying to point out is that there's a correlation, even though there's a bubble at the present stage where things are progressively getting better in one sense. There's a link between that and the effects of chanting and the Hare Krishna movement around the world.
Definitely. Hare Krishna movement is bringing auspiciousness. So two things are happening simultaneously. As you said, people are becoming more aware. But then also progressively other things are going downward. So there's two things happening simultaneously. There are people who are changing, but also things are getting degraded as we are progressing. And we can see that the killing of animals has reduced. That's in fact increased, and it is projected to increase more as India and China are becoming more and more meat eating. So there's a section of people are also changing. Two things are happening simultaneously.
Yeah, I like to take the attitude that back to the moment of Lord Chaitanya, that with the rise of, with the advent of Lord Chaitanya, we're actually entering the bubble of such a era.
Yes.
I like to take a positive outlook, saying, okay, Krishna consciousness is increasing and is actually changing that. Insofar as taking a positive look at the world, and taking that, because all the media wants to do is present a negative attitude. We as devotees actually should present a positive attitude. And that positive attitude is actually happening because of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada actually said that if it wasn't for the Krishna consciousness movement, it's highly likely that there would have already been an atomic war. So these are the sort of things, you know, we can espouse the negativity of Kali Yuga, but I feel it's more beneficial to actually point out the positives and say, look at this, because of chanting, because of your chanting, everybody's chanting, there's now thousands, millions of people in the world chanting the holy name of Krishna. And that is actually subduing the effects of Kali Yuga, as predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that there'll be a Satyayuga for 2,000 years, and then the negative side of 10,000 years, actually, and then the negative side of Kali Yuga will take effect. I find that, personally, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. My opinion is we need to present both. The positive and the negative. That's my take on it. But yes, we are in the bubble of the golden age, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended, and Krishna consciousness is widespread. And it's true, yes, maybe we won't have such events as Prabhupada is explaining, atomic war, But also simultaneously things will degrade. And we are seeing that in front of our own eyes. The climate is, even 10 years back, it's much warmer and it's much worse. And now they're recognizing this climate change is a big problem. The things have got worse, and before there were no such fires. So there's the positive happening and there's this to both sides. Okay. Thank you. That is an interesting point. Any other questions? Yes.
Earlier you mentioned that the animal farm gets found. They are not under the laws of the government, and they are always under the laws of karma.
Yes.
So they are burning off their karma, they cannot create or
yes.
do anything, they are just burning their own karma. I just wanted to
yes. clarify. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. So animals have karma, but they are not accruing more karma. They are living their lives. Yeah. Thank you. Any other points? Okay, we're right here. Mr. Prabhupada ki jai.